dog. I'm an addict named Anne-Marie. Hey, everybody. I want to thank God, absolutely. I love God, and I want to thank God for getting us all here. Safe Traveling Mercies. I want to thank the Chesapeake regional area of Narcotics Anonymous for thanking me and Pat and asking us, and all the other speakers and all the other people who have traveled to come and share our experience, strength, and hope. I love Narcotics Anonymous. Narcotics Anonymous is the best thing that ever happened to me. I want to give a shout out to Nafisa and Rashida. They're celebrating 6 days clean. I'm going to give my shout-outs early, right? Pat reminded me, because sometimes you forget what's really important. You know what I mean? And so my predecessors are in the room. I got Winnie sitting over there, Ladivia somewhere around here. You know what I mean? I got Pat sitting over there. Winnie sitting right there in the pink shirt. Yeah, you know what I mean? And there's a lot of other ones in here. And then I got my girlfriends in here. You know, I got the Keishas and the Tonys and the Lucys and the Carlas. And my sponsees is in here. I got Madonnas and the Crystals. And Robin might be in here. And the other Robin might be in here. Pat, my sponsee over there. You know what I mean? I got my girlfriend Gina sitting right there. I got, listen, friends in here, right? I'm Anna Marie, and I'm from the Philadelphia area. Narcotic Anonymous, right? Right? I was raised up rough. Listen, I was listening to Pat. I've been clean since August the 30th, 1994, right? And I was raised up rough and raw. They ain't put no fat on the message. They didn't have to tell me to sit down and shut up because I was so beat up when I got here that I absolutely did whatever I was told. Whatever they told me to do, and my predecessors is in here. They've been watching me since I came here. They know if I'm lying. They'll tell me after the meeting. They might tell me during the meeting because that's how raw they can be sometimes. But I did what I was told to do. And I'm amazed that, because you never know, you know, there's some things, you know, some things that people say, you know, like, I didn't come here to share. I really don't like to share. Well, I like to share. I came here to do this. This is what I came here for. They invited me to do the first women's rap of Ocean City Convention, and I was ecstatic. I was ecstatic when they called me. Listen, because sometimes people confuse your confidence with conceit. When they called me, I said they had the right girl for the job. That's what they did. That's what I said. That's what I said. I said they got the right girl for the job because I love sisterhood. I am a woman who loves other women. I love on other women. I nurture other women. You cannot really talk to me negatively about other women because I really don't want to hear it. And I was listening to Pat and I was so amazed. And here's the thing, as women, as you stay around here, the same kind of things that's going on kind of get in your spirit. And because I've been kind of bothered in my spirit, because I want to tell my story backwards. Right? I was a hoe all my life. Right? I even remember as being a little girl being really promiscuous. My father was a really handsome man. I'm 60 years old. I was always a pretty girl. That's just the truth. Except for when that crack got a hold of me. But I bounced back when I came to Narcotics Anonymous. I bounced right back. You know what I mean? Something about black don't crack. I bounced right back. Right back. Right? Right? So I even remember like riding around. My father had a 1969 red convertible Cadillac and he used to take me out with him and all his friends used to say stuff and I was like maybe 8 and 9. They said, oh, she's so pretty, and they used to give me money for ice cream, and something about that kind of got in my spirit really early, and I knew something about being pretty and boys and men were kind of interconnected. So I always rolled off of that. Always played on that some kind of way. And I was a hoe in the day when, before pussy was free and crack cost money. I was a hoe in the day, right? up down and see the temptations and the stylistics and the supreme, and you know what I mean? Take you to a nice hotel, you know, hook you up, right? Give you a couple dollars when they drop you off, you know, that you know, before crap. Right? And so, all of those things led to me getting here. Not just drugs, just the low self-worth, the low self-esteem, the low lack of self-respect, all of those things. It took all of those things, not just the one thing, to get me here. And it started really early, having a white mother and a black father. Yes, you know, and coming up in the era that I came in, being a half-breed wasn't a popular thing. So there was a dislike for who I was and a shame. Like, I hated my mother to show up. Okay, because when my mother didn't show up, I was just a red bone. Because that's what they called light-skinned black women back in the day. So if her white ass didn't show up, I love my mother. That's my story. If her ass didn't show up at the school ballerina tutu and the fucking shit, I was good. Soon as she showed up, every time she showed up, people changed how they responded to me. They changed. So when my girlfriend would just call me names because we were angry, once my mother showed up, I was no longer just a name. It was always a white or a cracker in front of me. My white cousins called me a nigger bitch when they was mad. My black cousins called me a cracker bitch when they was mad. I look Puerto Rican, can't speak Spanish. Where the fuck do I fit in that? What's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? Where do I belong? Find my place. Where do I fit in? So all of those feelings and thoughts of self-loathing and self-hatred led me to my best friend, which was drugs. Drugs fixed me. And I'm talking about before getting here. That's what I believe they did. I found that all that stuff was a lie after I got here. Drugs did everything for me. It made me more popular, it made me more accepting, it made sex better, it made me dance better, everything was better. Okay. Until it wasn't. And at the end, dying looked more appealing than living, but I didn't have what it took to kill myself. And I ain't talking about the slowly committing suicide that the literature's talking about. I'm talking about I didn't have what it took to blow my brains out or jump off the bridge or take some pills. I didn't have it. And so I ended up here with you ladies in the program and the fellowship, because I love the fellowship too, right, of Narcotics Anonymous. And I got here and I kind of got involved with the program immediately. And not so much because I liked y'all that much or not. I had nothing or no one else. There was no place else to go. Every bridge, every family member, I had burnt all of that. And nobody besides y'all wanted to be bothered with me. Now, prior to getting here, and I came in and I did what I was told. I got a sponsor, 45 Days Clean. I got a home group. I've had two sponsors. Roz G was my first sponsor. I love her with all my heart and soul. And it was painful to have to move on. It was painful. And I have a new sponsor that I'm beginning to really gel with, that I'm beginning to trust, that I'm beginning to be open with, because it's difficult when you stay with somebody for 19 and a half years and then you have to go and listen. It don't matter how long you've been here. It's hard revealing yourself, your true self. Because I'm not the addict that come in the room and share everything with y'all. I don't trust a lot of y'all. Okay, I don't. And it's okay, because the literature set me up to understand that I needed a network. And now I come to the meeting because recovery don't happen on the phone with my sponsor. We practice recovery on the phone. Recovery don't happen at the convention. We practice recovery. Recovery happens in our meetings. That's what the literature say. That's what I believe. So the group is the most powerful vehicle. So I make meetings and I make them regularly. And what I realize, a lot has been going on. I would do anything for one more, even if what you think about right now, and if I didn't do it, I thought about doing it, right? And so, Some of the time women call me because I'm a happily married woman. I love my husband Ghost and he ain't dead yet. My marriage would be perfect if I wasn't in it. It would be perfect. It would be perfect. It would be perfect. If I wasn't in it, it would be a perfect marriage. It would be wonderful. But unfortunately, none of my relationships can be perfect because everybody that's in a relationship with me is in a relationship with me. And so there's bound to be some issues because something is wrong with me, right? Something is the way that I think. Something is wrong with the way that I react to things sometimes or don't react when I should. Something's wrong with me, so I keep coming here. But prior to getting here, I had another marriage. I was married before. This is my second marriage. He's younger. He's a newcomer. I married him. He lived in a recovery house. I married him. Do I have any regrets? No, I don't. Did they say it wasn't going to work? Yes, they did. But we'd be married 18 years in a couple of months, and we'd be together 19. Because only God knows what's going to work. Did I hear y'all say, get a newcomer a break? Did I rationalize that ain't what the literature say? The literature say, give yourself a break. You did I did all that. But I still married my newcomer. And I'm still just as excited about it today as I was when I picked him up when he had 60 days and I had almost 5 years. I'm still excited. I'm excited about it. I'm excited about him. He still do it for me, right? Okay? He still do it for me, right? So, Winnie, I'm sorry. I ain't listening. I know that's right. Listen. And so, when my first marriage, because I want to talk about the pain. I want to talk about how we can dish it out, but we can't take it.
You better go ahead.
That's what I want to talk about.
You better go ahead, man.
I want to talk about the dishing out, but the karma is spiritual. We don't have to do anything to get what's coming to us. God is in charge of karma. He is in charge of it. And he will dish it out when he sees fit. And from my experience, when the comeback comes, I'm never prepared and I never can handle it. I can only handle the dishing out part. Right? That's the only part I can handle. I'm a liar and I hate to be lied to. I'm a thief and I hate when you take my shit. Right? I can't handle it. Right? So in my first marriage, I have women that call me now, and it's really a good thing to be viewed as a person who appears to, because we only appear to. Nobody ever knows what's really going on behind doors. Nobody ever knows if what I'm telling you about my marriage is the whole truth and nothing but the truth or not. Nobody really knows except for me and my husband. But it's really good, but sometimes people can kind of get a feel for it just based on watching your journey and watching your lived experience and watching you when you come out and watching seeing you. So they kind of get an idea that they understand that ain't no relationship perfect, but there are healthy marriages. There are healthy marriages. And healthy marriages is the ability. Listen, healthy marriage is not equated to nobody don't fuck up, nobody don't do nothing wrong. No, healthy marriage is the ability to go through with dignity. With dignity, no matter what you go through, to go forward with you and him and God, because the circle is complete. You don't need nobody else. You don't. You really don't. And it's good to have other people that you can really talk to about you and the part that you play in what goes on in your marriage, and to get feedback from women who love both of y'all.
That's right. That's right.
Unconditionally.
That's right.
Stop talking to these girls.
Right.
Stop talking to them that don't love y'all equally. I know one of my girlfriends is in here, and we just became friends, and we just want to tell you a story. We just became friends. I didn't really know her. She's doing a wonderful job. She's coming like over 10, 11 months. Right? She's doing fantastic work. But the first time I met her, it was kind of, she walked up and she said, "Hey, Aunt Marie." I said, "Hi, sweetie." She said, "I'm such and such." And I said, "Hey, baby." She said, "I'm your husband friend." I said, "Okay, baby." She said, "I'm the one that I seen him one day and I wanted him to take me home. And he told me I was an Aunt Marie approved." Ride in the building. That's what he told her, right? And I said to her, because you can be, you know, but I think it's just best to be direct. So people know, I said, you ain't. I don't know you. That's what I said to her. I said, you not. I don't know you. Right? You know what I mean? So she said, well, can I call you sometime? And you don't never know why people call me. But I said, absolutely. Because I have a responsibility that was deemed by the program and a God of my understanding to be available and visible to the newcomer. That's my responsibility, and that is what I do. And we have become really good friends. We have become really good friends. I love her. She's my friend. You know what I'm saying? But it's really good to be open and to have boundaries and to be direct. All this back hand, back door. Just come, just be straight up. Just say what you mean and mean what the fuck you say. Because the goal can't be. Anne-Marie, is your goal to have everybody like you? Well, no matter what you do, that's an unattainable, unrealistic goal. The goal is to hopefully have people respect you and to understand that they don't have to. Because I come from a place, my girlfriend Carla was talking about lies that we tell ourselves. But one of the lies that I've told myself a lot of the years of my recovery, oh, you going to respect me? What the fuck are you going to do if I don't? Emily, what you going to do if they don't? Ain't nothing you can do. People don't got to do nothing, and people can say what they want to say. And you know what I mean? So I've learned to manage my way through all that by using that. And so one of the things that's really important as women, because this is a women's rest, and it's about empowering other women, and this ain't about being self-righteous. Because listen, I fuck other people's husbands. I've cheated on, and I've been cheated on. I've done it all, okay? I've sold pussy, and I've bought dick. I've done it all. I've done it all. Listen, I've been there, and I did that. Listen. You cannot live life for 60 years, all right? You cannot live life for 60 years and not have an equal level of bullshit, good and bad. You just can't. So some of the time when women call me, and they call me because they may be going through in the area of relationship, or maybe their mate is cheating on them, or maybe they'll get to talking, and they be like, oh, Emery, you don't know what I mean. Well, let's get the record straight. I don't have to live that way now to not have the experience.
That's right.
The reason I don't have the experience now because I did that already. I've been there and I did that. I couldn't take the comeback. Alright, so I understand that at some point that if you gotta stop dishing it out so you don't listen, because God is so merciful that he might let karma skip your ass, bitch, if you stop. Can you stop? Can you stop? Can you stop? He might, because he a merciful God. Right? He is a merciful God. But in order to get it, listen, I needed to stop. So some of the time we're burning. I'm watching women that I know and that I love burning from the sting of infidelity. And I know that sting. I felt that sting. And I've also had some other women in my life feel my sting because I was the person causing the pain. No, I haven't did it since I've been clean. Because my ass was thoroughly whooped. I didn't want none of what I got before I got here. I just didn't. I'm telling you, I was a 12-step member and 2 years clean. I got busy. I did it to this guy when I had like 90 days clean. I thought he was fine, but I was looking. I'm telling you, when I had almost 90 days clean, it was this guy, now he was new and he used to talk real good. He had it maybe 6 months or something like that. He was kind of new too. But he used to talk real good. And he was built real nice. I never noticed he was cockeyed. I never noticed until I did him. And I seen him the next day in the meeting. And he said, hey, baby. And he looked at me. He was cockeyed. His shit was like this, right? And I knew at that moment that something was not right about my picker. Something was wrong. And so after that, for 2.5 years, I did not sleep with anybody. And it wasn't a goal, because I've never had a goal not to sleep with nobody. That was never a goal. But it just turned out that way. One day at a time, I looked up for 2.5 years clean, and I had not slept with anybody, and I got the benefit from doing that was I had got my own house, I had got my own car, I had my own job, all the bills was in my name, I paid my own bills, and the first time in my life, I realized that I could take care of me, that I had gained this new ability, that I had gained this new ability to not have to compromise myself when because I couldn't take it. You ever had to sleep when you really didn't want to sleep with him because you didn't have what it took to be able to take care of yourself? Well, I had developed the ability to be a self-sufficient woman. Now, I ain't talking about the self-sufficiency that's a lie in Narcotics Anonymous. I'm talking about the ability as a woman to be able to tell a man to kiss your ass on payday because you got your own paycheck. I'm talking about that type of self-sufficiency. Okay? That's your problem, right? Okay. So we get broken and we get hurt, and the pain and hurt is the appropriate emotion when you feel betrayed by somebody that said they love you and you love them, right? Now people ask me, Emery, you think your husband ever cheated on you? I don't know. I have no evidence, and I don't look for none. But I know that God loved me so much that if and when it happened, he'll reveal it to me. I know he will. And if he don't, one of y'all jealous ass bitches will. Right? That's the bottom line. That's just the stuff. Bam! 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 That's all the truth. That's all the truth. That little, I don't mean no harm. I ain't trying to make no haters after the meeting. Please still love me and hug me. But we came here to hear the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That's why we here. Right? Ain't that why you came back? That's why I came. So, what happens is, opposed to the pain that we feel because of the crisscross, we go and do the same thing to another woman. And we do it because we're hurting. And hurt people hurt people. And we do it in the same pain that we can barely sleep at night because of. Because I remember my first husband. As much as I cheated on him, when he cheated on me, girl, I act like I was the most sincere infant. I couldn't believe it. I could not believe that he cheated on me. I was devastated. I was devastated. Okay? So, we gotta... For real, when you kill a man, you kill a man, and I'm not minimizing men, but when you kill a woman, you kill a nation. We are it. We the best creation God ever made. We the best. We were his best work. Listen, we were God's best work. We that's why he saved us for last, the best for last. We was his best work, okay? We have to learn, we have to. Listen, we gotta learn how to be better to each other. We have to learn. Listen, jealousy. Newcomer. I'm going to say this in my last 57 seconds. Newcomer. Jealousy. It's a real emotion. It is. And most of the time it's unwarranted. And I want the newcomer to know, listen, I know you here. Nafisa. Right? I know you got 6 days clean. There's a lot of women in here who have made a stay clean a long time, have a lot of accomplishment, got degrees and all kinds of stuff. But I want you to know that ain't none of them got shit you can't have. Right? Nothing. Yeah. They ain't got nothing you can't have. Right? Nothing. But here's the trick to it. The trick to it is this. Our minister said that if you want what we have and are willing to make an effort to get it, bitch, you can't have mine. If you want what we have and are willing to make an effort to get it, then you gotta do what we did, right? You gotta do what we did. Medicine, religion, and psychiatry, none of those methods were sufficient for us. It don't say it don't work. It says, but the disease always resurfaces or continue to progress. until in desperation we seek help from each other. We need each other. If you think you can recover without me, or I think I can recover without you, we are in trouble. We need to stop hurting each other and start loving each other. Thanks.